Thank you very much, Azalea City, for being a part of our service today. If you're visiting with us, as was mentioned earlier, thank you very much for being here as well. You help make days like this special. I do want you to know that if you are visiting with us, you will recognize a lot of empty seats. We have our teenagers gone. We have other families on vacation. There's a lot of people out today, but I'm glad that we are here. I'm glad that you are here. And I hope and pray that you have already been encouraged by our worship to our God. It's been a really encouraging service for me. I appreciate Steve and the songs that he has chosen to lead us in today. I appreciate Bo and the scripture from Philippians 4, 6, and 7. That's a very powerful scripture that Paul wrote while he was in a storm, while he was in a midnight, while he was in prison. And so I appreciate those words about finding that peace that passes all understanding. And Levy's prayer, again, I appreciate those powerful words. And then Jason, as he stood before us and brought us a thought about the Lord's Supper, it reminded me that God is amazing. That our God, who chose to breathe everything we know into existence, He decided that He wanted us to be with Him forever, for all eternity. And no matter how much we try to mess it up, God has made a way back. He's made a way home. And today, I want to continue in a series about God being enough. God being enough for us no matter where we are. You know, I recognize in today's time that we struggle. I want you to know that there are times I struggle. I've been very vocal about being diagnosed with depression. You know, I'm thankful to God Almighty for a good counselor, for good doctor, for medication that was able to help me find a balance. And so that's been a midnight for me before, and I would guess that some of you, that's a midnight for you. That's a storm for you. But you know, as much as we struggle, and whatever yours may be, because we live in an imperfect world that when we came up out of the water, even though we walk in the light as He is in the light, we are still in this world. We're not of this world, but we're in this world. And we have darkness. And we have struggles. And we have times of trouble and trials and tribulation. And there are so many things. But what we can be reminded of, the constant that we can hold on to throughout all of these times, is our God. And our God, He is enough. Our God, even though we go through trials and we go through heartaches and we go through storms, our God stands in that gap. And that amazes me. What amazes you? You know, when I think about amazing things, and you hear the word thrown around a lot, and listen, I am very guilty of it, but the word awesome, we use that word a lot. But think of the root word of awesome would be awe. I am in awe of God and His awesome love and His awesome care and His awesome power for us. But you know, we might say, when we see something amazing, that's awesome or whatever. And I'm not criticizing anybody for that, because I do it a lot myself. In fact, I was talking with someone about this when I was speaking at another service a few weeks ago, and they mentioned, you know, that they had heard a lesson about how God is who is really awesome. And then later on, that person came back up to me and they said something. I said, man, that's awesome. You know, just in general. And it's easy to get caught up in. But when I think of the awesomeness of God, the amazing, awe-inspiring power of God, there are things in life that we can see from Him that remind us of how amazing He is. You think about a child. Children are special, and I understand that children can cry and fuss and make our patience thin, no matter what age they are, right? But at the same time, children are amazing. And when I see Jesus picking up that child and putting it in His lap and saying, unless you are converted and become like this little child, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. He also recognized there's something amazing about children as well. Their hearts, their love, their forgiveness, their care, their kindness, their innocence. It's so amazing to me. But some other inspiring things from God that I look around in nature and I see is I witnessed the other day and I told in Outdoor Bible, I'm still in Outdoor Bible and I appreciate that opportunity, but we're talking about Solomon and we're talking about the wisdom of Solomon. And you remember when Solomon had to decide who's the mother of this child. You remember he wasn't really going to, I don't believe, but chop the child in half and divide it up. Well, I was explaining to them how when a mother loves their child, they will do amazing things. And the other day there was a crow, and you know how big crows can be, flying around as I was cutting grass, and a mockingbird was getting after that crow. A mockingbird is not bigger than a crow, but they are tough. You know how they can be. It was fighting that crow and pecking at that crow and just, that crow was like, man, I'm sorry, I came in this direction, you know. But what was that mama bird doing? She was protecting her babies. And I see that in nature, and I think about how amazing God is in His design. Or a rainbow, and I know that the devil wants the rainbow to be a representation of sin and things that are not approved by God in the Bible, but God is the creator of the rainbow, and that rainbow brings promise, and whenever I see one, it still brings a smile to my face, no matter what, because our God is amazing, and our God is all-inspiring, and our God is all-powerful, and our God is awesome, and our God is enough. Amazing love. How can it be that you, my God, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. When I think of that amazing love of God, the most amazing, awe-inspiring moment I can think of to illustrate God being enough for us today is this. That no matter what you have done in your life, no matter what I have done in my life, no matter what darkness I'm in, no matter what past I have, no matter what valley I'm in or mountain that I have climbed and fallen off of, God still loves me. And God still loves you. And God still longs for us to be there to walk with Him and to be a part of His forever family. Today, I want you to know that God is amazing. But amazing as He is, He's enough. He's there for us. He reminds us that no matter what happens, even though there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Turn in your Bibles to Romans 8. You know this passage. If you have been in the church, you've heard this passage, but in case it's been a while or maybe never since you've read it, I want you to hear these words. I want you to think about Paul, and I want you to think about his life, and I want you to think about what he says through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit here. Verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? You know, as I think about these words and I think about the series that we're in on, and you know, He is enough, or even though whatever I'm going through, even though I'm facing struggles and trials and terrible things in life, even though I'm facing those, nobody can be against me if I'm with God. He goes on to write in verse 32, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies? Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Think about this. And let me talk to the kids maybe for a little bit. I don't know who the most famous person that you know is, but a lot of people probably know who, like, LeBron James is. Okay, LeBron James is getting paid a lot of money to play basketball at a high level, okay? Let's say LeBron James wanted to teach you how to play basketball. You know, that might be a pretty cool thing, because he's the most famous person you know and the best basketball player in the world, and he wants to play basketball with you. If he called up your mom and dad and said he wanted... Now, I want you to think, that would be a pretty amazing thing, not only for the child, but for the parents. But I got something that'll blow that out of the water. The most amazing man who's ever walked this earth. He died the cruelest death that's ever been. He overcame death. He resurrected himself from the grave. He went back to heaven, sat down at the right hand of God, and he's sitting on the throne saying, hey, Terry's not that bad a guy, God. I know he messed up, but I want him here with us. Jesus Christ wants a relationship with you and wants a relationship with me. So much that he's making intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now here's what the devil's doing. He's trying. He's trying. He is going to throw stuff your way. He is going to try to knock you and me off course. He's going to put roadblocks up and potholes and ditches and valleys. Maybe that today is, and we mentioned this, you know, throughout these series of lessons, but maybe it's a black cloud over you, like nothing's going right. And you know, maybe your problem is not my problem, and maybe my problem is not your problem, but there's still problems. Maybe it's disease. I know today there are people in this congregation who are hurting because they're facing cancer and other diseases. Diseases like diabetes. Diseases like heart failure. Diseases that are struggles. Diseases that we can't breathe as well as we once did. There are all kinds of things with our health. Maybe it's just declining health because you're growing older. God did not design our bodies to last forever. And these bodies wear out. But that's hard to take for some people. Maybe for all of us, right? It's hard to accept the stage of life we're in. We can't do the things we once did. And folks, that is a black cloud. And listen, I am not going to tell a person, oh, just get over that, because that's real and they're hurting. Maybe it's a marriage problem. Maybe it's a child and parent problem. Job, we could go on and on. And I'm not going to tell somebody, oh, just get over that. Because it's their dark cloud. But here's the beauty of it. In that cloud, there is a rainbow. that God promised that it won't be there forever. This dark cloud will not be there forever. I'm going to help you out because nothing can separate my love for you. And so what do we do? What should we do? When I think about passages like that, no matter what we're going through, no matter if we can walk, no matter if we can stand, no matter if we can even get up, we can say together, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. For me it was in the garden He prayed, not my will but Thine. He had no tears for His own grief, but sweat drops of blood for mine. He took my sins and my sorrows, He made them His very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. There are going to be storms. We're going to face them. We're going to face midnights. There's going to be challenges we face no matter how strong our faith is. And let me take that argument out of the equation. There's going to be people who have the mindset that the reason I'm going through this is because my faith is weak. Now let me say, that may be the case in some moments that our faith is weak. But it doesn't matter, the strongest person's faith in here, if we could measure, and I don't know who that is, okay? I want it to be me, it may not definitely be me, it may be you or somebody else, but we should all want it, right? That if we could measure how strong, if I could hold something and say, my faith in it goes all the way up, or whoever wins that equation, whoever wins that game, they're still facing problems. It's not a faith issue. We're going to face heartache. But God is enough. And God stands in the gap. And God is there to help us through. I want you to think about this for a moment. Jason, I appreciate your words. It really drove home the point today, especially with the app. Thinking about, I've got an app that can cater to me, but it can cater to millions of people throughout the world. But we serve a God who can cater to all 7 billion people on the planet if they desire to do that, but He can cater to me personally. Make it personal today. That God who spoke everything into existence, who breathed life into man, who made woman out of man. Okay, that God, our God, He took time to pray for us. He took time to pray. That's amazing to me. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Mark 6. This is where our text is going to really come from today. Mark chapter 6. This is just a very, very neat story. And I hope that it will drive some reminders home to you today. I want you to think about these words as we read them together. Mark chapter 6, we're going to pick up in verse 45. But let me tell you what's happening in Mark 6. We're learning about John the Baptist being beheaded. John the Baptist was a great man. Probably the most underrated Bible character in all the Bible, in Terry's opinion, okay? We talk a lot about Peter and Paul and all, but here's what Jesus said about John. Born of woman, there is no one greater than John the Baptist. Now, he also talked about the kingdom, and he was making reference to the kingdom of the church, if you will, kingdom and church being synonyms. He said, But the least in the kingdom is greater than John. What he meant by that is that's how blessed we are to be a part of the church. But Jesus said those words about John, how great he was. because John stood up for what was right, he lost his head. Well, John was not only a great man who paved the way for Jesus and baptized Jesus, but he was related to Jesus. So guess what? Jesus takes that hard. He's human. That hurts him. But along the way, Jesus is busy. You know what else is going on? He's fed 5,000 people in this chapter. He's also knows that Herod's looking for him. There are a lot of things that our Lord went through. He's facing hard times. So let's pick up in verse 45 now, where Jesus is going to separate himself for a little while from the disciples. Immediately, verse 45, he made his disciples get in the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. It's important. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, and would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them, and said to them, "Be of good cheer. It is I, do not be afraid." Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled. If I just read that passage, it's a great story. But when I think about all the details that go into that, and I think about some things that I'm going to try to pull out to you today, I think it ties in very well to the point I'm trying to accomplish in these lessons. Even our Savior went through dark times. Even God, that's who He was, God in the flesh, went through dark times. Again, His loved one and friend, dead. The same person that wanted, that had John killed was that wanting to see Jesus. He is feeding people. People were walking away from Him. Even though He fed them, they were turning their backs on Him. There were a lot of things going on. So He decided, in the storm, in the midnight, in the misery, I've got to pray. And listen, I know it becomes a thing that we just say to people sometimes, and I hope that we really mean it, but sometimes I think people say it because maybe we don't know what else to say. But think of how powerful it really is. I'm going through this hard time. Well, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray with you. That is one of the most powerful gifts that we have from God. And our Savior, not only did He pray for those, He prayed for us. We could look that up in John 17 and know that He had us in mind. This is God who spoke everything to existence, thinking of the needs of you and the needs of me. What if we prayed for our families every day? And I hope we do. But what if we prayed to be better husbands and better wives? You think we'd have less storms in that department? What if we prayed as children to be better children? Do you think our relationship with our parents would be better? What if we prayed every day for our children and their relationship with our Lord and their future relationship with a spouse? Do you think our children would grow up and be better citizens and better Christians and marry Christians? What if we prayed for our elders every single day and we prayed for the growth of the kingdom of our Lord here at Azalea City? Do you think we'd have more opportunities to encourage them, that they would gain strength and we could lead people to Christ? Do you think if we prayed for our own spiritual growth, we would not be having to give up on God in the dark times? What if we prayed for the country that we live in? What if we prayed for our neighbors? What do you think would happen? There'd be a lot more rainbows. We'd still have the dark clouds. but we'd recognize God's awesome power. We'd find that peace that Paul talked about, that peace that passes all understanding. You see, God knows better than we do of what we need. We think we know what we need, but God knows even better. I want to go back to the text now. Jesus stopped and prayed, but look at verse 48. He saw them straining at rowing. That passage may not leap out at you, but it leapt out at me. As I read back through this, as I was studying for this lesson, it just jumped off the page at me. Can you imagine how hard it was to row against that current, to row against that tide, to row against those waves? I know that sometimes it can be hard, even today, with motors on a boat, to be able to go against that water, especially if you're taking in water and you can't get it out and your boat's weighed down. There was a lot of things, but they're having to row this. And so here's Jesus. He had taken time to row. Now he sees them and they're struggling. Do you think God sees your struggles today? And that may be you. We're in a storm and we're trying to plow ahead and we've got things going on in our lives and we just can't make it. Guys, I'm telling you, Jesus sees you struggling. He knew the wind was against them. So what did he do? He got up and he walked that way. You see, Jesus knows our weaknesses. He knows when we put things in our body we shouldn't put in our bodies. And when we watch things we shouldn't watch, He knows when our lips and ears say and hear things they shouldn't. He knows when we forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. He knows all these things. He knows our weaknesses, but He knows our needs. They were straining to row. The wind was against them. They needed love. They needed comfort. They needed help. We need all those things today too. Thanks to our God that He sees our struggles, that He sees a struggle against the wind. But one last thing I want to talk about. Our God prays for us. He hears our prayers. He answers our prayers. He knows our struggles, but He also knows and wants to be in our boat. When you look back at the text, it reminds us in verse 51. He went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased. Sometimes because of our struggles, we may not see Jesus for who He is. After all, they saw Him as a ghost. Today, we may not see, because we're in a dark cloud, and we're in a midnight, and we're in a struggle, we may not be able to recognize God for who He is. The biggest problem they had that day wasn't the wind. The biggest problem they had wasn't the storm. It wasn't the water. It wasn't the wood boat. It was that Jesus wasn't in their boat. And today, the biggest problem we have, or the biggest problem we can have, is to face this storm without Jesus in our boat. Because the ones who are going to get through the storms are the one who allow Jesus to captain their life. The biggest tragedy we can have today is to leave here without Jesus Christ on board in our lives. Some might have the mindset, well, it just messes up my routine. when I've got to put God first, and listen, you may not come out and say this, but our lives reflect it. When I've got to put God first, guess what? It messes up my life. That's some people's mindset. It's an inconvenience. Because I've got so many other things going on, going to worship, you know, giving to God, doing all these things, reading my Bible, praying, all these things that get in the way. We might not openly admit that, but that's the way we live our lives sometimes. Or maybe it's just not right now. God, let me get a few more things in order. You know, I'm busy, I'm sick, I'm hurting, I'm tired, I'm miserable. You know, I need some me time, I need some kid time, I need all these same time. And again, we may not openly say that, but we live that. Well, do you think for 1 minute when they recognized it was Jesus, they said, hey, hold up a minute, we don't need you in our boat right now. No. I imagine they begged Him. We need you. We need Him every hour. We need Him every day. We need Him in the sunshine, and we need Him in the storms. Today, as you reflect on your life, and I reflect on my life, can you think of a time when you've tried to do it on your own? You know, I know that the song was made popular by Elvis Presley and Frank Sinatra and perhaps others. But we can't do it our way. We must do it His way. And today, you're going through a storm. Or you will go through a storm. Or you've been in a storm. You've tried to row and you've tried to do it on your own. But today, the one who can get us through it is the one waiting to get on your boat. Today, don't struggle anymore. Give it to Him. Be obedient to His gospel. Submit your life. And let's do it as together we stand and sing.